I invite you this morning to turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You heard that right, Ecclesiastes. So Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, easier way to find it if you can't find it. It's right after Proverbs. But we're going to be in chapter 3, and we're going to be covering verses 1 to 15 this morning. And if you haven't been with us lately, we've been working through the very interesting book of Ecclesiastes, and it's been a great journey so far. We, of course, still have lots to go, but we are covering verses 1 to 15 this morning. And as I was studying this week, I realized I need to do two parts on this because it's just so packed full of stuff, so relevant for our day. And so I decided to do two parts. This will be part one. Next week will be, of course, part two. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at the well-known passage where it talks about how there's a time for everything. Everything in its time. And so let's use this time this morning to focus on what this passage really teaches us. But before we do, let me read the passage for you. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 to 15. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. That which is already has been, that which is to be already has been, and God seeks what has been driven away. That's our passage for this morning. But as humans, of course, we are bound by time. We cannot escape it, alter it, or twist it in any way. There are no time machines, no matter how many scientists try to create one. We each have the same amount of time every day, and that does not change. Now, we don't always like this, right? Sometimes we wish we could change the speed of time. When you're going through something great, you wish time would slow down, so you can have more time doing it. But when you're going through something unpleasant, don't you want it to speed up? Likewise, there are times where we feel like there's too much time, and other times where we feel like there's not enough time in a day. In 1752, England went from the old Julian calendar to the new Gregorian calendar. In order to make it work, they had to remove 11 days from the calendar, and this changed led many people to be upset. They eventually came up with a slogan where they said, "Give us our 11 days back." And it even led many uneducated people to incorrectly believe that they would now reach an earlier grave because they lost 11 days. That would be an interesting thing to experience, the removal of 11 days of the calendar. And yet, if you really think about it, they never truly lost any time. Of course, the dates changed, but time still moved the way it always does. Time. We're bound by it as humans. But as we look at this passage, the Bible shows us various things about time and about seasons. And we see first that life is filled with different seasons. Not long ago, we changed seasons. And some of you are rejoicing because winter can be very hard on many people. And so back on March 20th, we changed into spring, And some of you are already saying, I want June, I want summer to be here. We all know seasons change at these set times, and each season brings with it various things, of course. And so also this passage is showing us that life is filled with changing seasons. So it's not just the weather seasons, so to say, but it's the seasons of life that we go through. Notice verse 1, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. That word translated here as season really refers to something's appointed time, right? So you think even this makes sense with a spring has an appointed time, okay? It's spring now. The appointed time of summer is this, right? And so it's really a season is an appointed time. And the Bible, really the word means that in the originals. In the book of Esther, the Jews say that they're going to follow the Feast of Purim at the time appointed every year. That's the same word that's translated here, time appointed, season. They're going to do that at the same time. What if we remembered that the seasons of life were appointed times? They're appointed times. What a difference it would make in our lives. Because you think about a season is an appointed time, and that means it's purposeful. It's purposeful. The various things that you go through are not meaningless. They're not meaningless. They have a purpose in your life, Christian. It's hard to remember that in the most difficult times, but yet we're pushed to be reminded of Romans 8:28. And we know for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And so our God is, he's purposely working his plan, not only in the world, but in my life and yours. And so he's purposely bringing us in and out of seasons in our lives. And we would do well to remember that. And so seasons, inherent to seasons, is that they have a purpose. God has a purpose in your season. But also inherent to a season is that life is orderly. You think about the four seasons, it shows an orderliness to the world and to changing times. And it reminds us that the world is not run by chance. It's run by our mighty God. And aren't you thankful that the seasons of life don't come to you by chance or luck? If that was the case, if the seasons of my life came to me by mere chance, I would live in constant fear and trepidation because who knows what could come my way. No, our order-creating, order-sustaining God will never let the seasons of life get out of order. And so the seasons of life are purposeful, they're orderly, but also think about this. Inherent to a season is that it's not forever. Aren't you thankful it's not forever? Now, there's some things where we wish they would last for a long time. We wish it would. But there's other seasons you go through that are so hard, and you're thankful it's not forever. Because inherent to a season is that there's a new one coming. It's temporary. Peter says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. Paul calls trials of life light momentary affliction. You see, it's easier to go through something hard when you know it has an expiration date, when you know the pain won't be forever. It has an appointed time, and then it will be over, and that is comfort to a struggling soul to know this pain has an expiration date. In verses 2 to 8, the author gives various examples of these seasons. And he gives us it's obviously not an exhaustive list. This doesn't cover every single little thing of life, but it is representative of our lives, of the things that we do, of our birth and death, of the time to speak and the time to keep silent, and so many different things. And if you notice, he gives a lot. You know, for some of us, if we were maybe writing something similar, we'd probably give a couple things, okay? But he just keeps going, and as you heard me read, it's like another one, another one, another one. And it's purposeful because it's showing that these seasons of life cover all of life. They cover all of life. From the time you're born to the time you die, there are seasons. From your very life to your words to your work to your emotions to your relationships, everything has a season. And he uses this phrase, a time to. And really in context, he's saying that everything has a suitable and proper time. Right? This is a suitable and proper time. And we all know this, right? When you're hungry, it's the time to eat, usually. You think about, I have little children, and when you often have to say, it's time to go to bed, right? And I find for teenagers, you have to say, it's time to get up. Those are the main ones you often have to say. For working adults, we look at our watch and say, oh, it's time to go to work, right? It's time to go home. Everything has a suitable and proper time. And so this means when someone dies, it is a suitable time to mourn. When you lose something, it is fitting to find to look for it. When something is broken, it is proper to throw it away if that's the case. Not keep it forever. You know? If it's broken, to not keep it forever. This is normal life. We must not lose sight of that. We have to realize that there is a time for these things. And this helps us because it reminds us that it's okay to cry because it's the time to grieve. It's okay to laugh because it's the time to, you know, have fun and be with your family and friends and have that good time. It's proper in those situations. Likewise, it helps us, you know, if you have to build something, and some of us begrudge that, oh, I got to build something, or if something breaks, oh, I have to throw it away, to realize that that's not some mistake in the universe. That's the way that life is. Because there's a time to throw it away. There's a time to build something. It's typical life in this world. But what happens is that we grumble over the seasons that we're in, don't we? And so it's time to throw something away, and you're so reluctant and you're angry, you think this shouldn't be the case, and this passage reminding us there's a time to throw away something. There's a time for that. It's time to plant, and what do we want? I want the harvest right now, and God's word is saying there's a time to plant, and then there's going to be a time to harvest it. You got to be patient. It's time to mourn, and we think, why can't life always be happy? But what God is teaching us is that the life is filled with this mixture of things, right? Is that there's grief, but there's also laughter. That there's birth, there's also death. That there's building and gathering and keeping, but there's also throwing away and casting away, tearing down. And so this is so important for us to know. And for, you know, we're all going through different seasons, but some of you are struggling through the season that you're in. You're really struggling in your season. And so maybe you're a young person and you wish you were older. And so you often young people say, I wish I was older, then I could drive. I wish I was older. I could be on my own. I wouldn't have like my parents, you know, telling me what to do. I could be on my own. Well, this passage is reminding us there's a time to be young. And so that means don't wish that time away, young person. Enjoy the time, the season that you're in. Because someday you're going to look back with longing for those carefree days of your childhood. Delight in the time. It's been given to you by God. And so that means if you're a young person, enjoy this time as a young person. I mean, run around, jump and play. Take advantage of all that energy you have because you won't always have it. Take advantage of that good health because you won't always have it in old age. And explore, get dirty, run around with your friends, laugh until it hurts without having to worry about bigger responsibilities. There are others of you who are in the stage of your raising young children. And it's hard and demanding. I'm in that stage. You sometimes wish that you wouldn't have to face all of what you face, but realize that this is the fitting and suitable time that God has for you. This is your season. It's your season. And realize it's purposeful. Meaning you're raising children who will then grow up and impact, hopefully impact others for Christ. That's an important thing. It's purposeful. Realize too, because it's a season, it doesn't last forever. No matter how long the days feel. And so that means live fully embracing the season that you're in. So cherish their giggles. Embrace the mess and loud noises. Realize that someday you will enter a season, a new season, when those things won't be there. These are formative days for your children. Don't waste them by grumbling about your season. Instead, look to the Lord, understanding that since He has purposely placed me in this season, right here, right now, He will give me what I need for the season. I know I struggle with this sometimes in ministry. I have a family of four young kids, and of course, family life demands a lot out of me, and all the while, of course, pastoring a church. And so I have to continually remind myself that this is the season that I'm in. This is the season. Someday I'll be in a different season, and ministry will look somewhat different than it does now. But this is the time that God has given to me. And I have to remind myself, and each of us has to remind ourselves, this is the season I'm in. Will I be faithful now? That's the question that each of us are faced with, because so often people will say, I'll be faithful once I'm in a different season. And really, God is calling us to say, I need to be faithful right now, here in my season. And so we have young people, we have those who are raising families, but also there's some of you who are in the empty nest stage of life. Maybe your kids are mostly out of home or completely out of the home, and some of you, it's really hard. You miss the noise and activity in your home. You miss the good times, the family dinners, the laughs, everything else. Realize that you are in a new season and that it's okay to cry. But also realize that you're not to become angry at God. You're not to become resentful. Because you have to know seasons come and go, and this is now your new season. The dynamics have changed. But have you ever thought about the fact that I'm in a new season, and you know what? Every season has its struggles, but every season has its blessings too. And so now I'm in a new season. What are the blessings? What are the good things now in my new season? Think about how your family could expand. Here comes sons-in-laws and daughters-in-laws and grandchildren. What a blessing. You can interact now with your adult children in ways that you never did before. Of course, you're no longer changing diapers. You're no longer setting curfews. But you can come alongside them in a different way. You can come along as this trusted advisor or constant encourager to help them as they now are going out and they're having adult problems and they're raising their own families. So you have empty nesters, but also maybe some of you, your season of life is on the older side of things. You're often called a golden ager. And for some of you, this is a really hard season. For some of you. Because with old age comes a lot of physical problems. We all know this. And that can be really discouraging. Because you're frustrated that you can't do what you used to do. And it's hard. You don't like the feeling of being a burden on other people. You don't like the feeling of having to ask for help. Because you used to do this stuff so easily, so confidently, and now other people have to do it for you. And it's not always the best feeling. All those who enter old age encounter this. You're not alone. But you too have to realize that this is your season. You have to acknowledge that this is reality. This is my new season, if that's you. Remember, I'm no longer young. I've already been through that season. I had that season, and I went on to the next one, and I went on to the next one. And now, this is my season given by God. It is my appointed time. And so instead of grumbling and dwelling upon all the things that you can't do, consider what you're able to do now. You can share vital wisdom and godliness with the younger generation. If you're older this morning, think about all the experiences you have been through. Think about all the trials God has taken you through. Think about all the things that you have learned about God along the way. We need your wisdom. We need your wisdom. Titus 2, Paul calls older women to teach what is good, and so train the young women. Are you doing that? They need you. The truth is, we all need you because you're a vital and valuable part of this church and of our lives. Many older people don't realize what they bring to the table, as they often think, I did my time, now it's theirs. But what if you thought, I did my time and look what God taught me and look the wisdom that God has given me, and now I can help them as they go through certain things? That's the correct way. How can I come alongside someone who's younger and teach them what God has taught me? Life is filled with different seasons. We've all been through various ones. We're all in one right now. But a second truth that comes from this passage is that we do not control the different seasons of life. We do not control them. Something that we learn and that we really know inherently as humans is that we are limited. We're limited. We only have so much time in the day, right? We all have the same amount. We all only have so much ability to do something. We only have so many resources to do something. So you take a cup to the ocean and fill it up. What do you find? It reaches a limit. You can't fill it up with the whole ocean water. It reaches a limit. It's only this much. And so also, we're limited. We can only know and do and control a certain amount of things in our lives. And we all know this deep down. And so we're limited. And we realize, too, that we're moved along by the seasons of life. Meaning, I do not ultimately control the seasons of my life. I can't say I'm old now, but I'm going to quick switch to young. Can't do it. I'm moved along by the seasons of life in most cases. I don't choose the time that I was born, and I don't choose the time that I die. I wish that I could choose when something wears out, because I would always choose never, but it's not the case. Things wear out. Things move along. I do not completely control my circumstances. There are some situations you realize this is completely out of my control. I cannot control it. We are moved along by the seasons, and we don't ultimately control them. Verse 9 reiterates this limitation. It says, what gain has the worker from his toil? And it's really placed in here intentionally because it's saying you can try your best, but you cannot ultimately change these seasons. You can try your best to stay young, but eventually your body gives out. You can try your best to get out of a trial with your ingenuity and skill, but there's some trials that are not touched by your efforts. So how much labor have you put in to try to break yourself free from the season that you're in? Realize you cannot do it. Now, there may be some minor changes made, but we'll say, ultimately, the big seasons of our lives are not under our control. They're not. Think with me about how there is a time to die. Tragedy can strike. You are not in control of that. Cancer can touch your body. You are not in control of it. Hundreds of other circumstances can lead to your death. You are not in control of it. People try their hardest to avoid death, but when it's our time, it's our time. And so what gain do we have from all of our toil to prevent death? Likewise, you think this, you can maybe pick the exact day when you want to pluck up something, right? You want to harvest, you know, a vegetable or something. But you cannot change the season of plucking. Try to go harvest your vegetables in the wintertime. It's not going to work because you can't control the season of plucking. We're limited. Our efforts can only do so much when it comes to the seasons of life. but we're also limited in our knowledge. We long to see how everything works out, but we can't grasp it. Look at verse 11. He has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. God has put eternity into the heart of every single person. And that means even an unbeliever deep down knows that this isn't all that there is, even though they may suppress that truth. So here's the rub. We go through seasons of life, but eternity is in our hearts. We go through the seasons of life, but eternity is in our hearts. And that means we go through these seasons of life, season by season, and we're really longing to see the big picture. Like, how does this work together? How does that? What is the purpose of that? What is that for? So going through life is like holding one puzzle piece, eventually putting it down, doing another, but never really seeing the big picture, seeing what it actually is. Eternity is in our hearts, but we can't quite grasp it all. Verse 11 says that we cannot find out what God has done from beginning to the end. So this is why, as we go through trials, we say, why this, why now? We go through things and we think, how is this purposeful in any way? How is this meaningful? We go through those tough times, but we can't quite figure out how those pieces work together for good, Romans 8:28. So not knowing how it all fits is normal. Realize that. Obviously, we were limited in our knowledge. It's normal. Every single one of us can't fit it all together in our minds. Like, how does this, why did that happen? What's going on there? God set it up that way. That's what this passage is showing us. God set it up. He put eternity in your heart. But you can't put it all together. You can't understand what God is doing fully. And so it just proves once again we're limited in our control. Our efforts are limited. Our knowledge is limited. You weren't meant to control the world, and you can't. This is not some flaw or mistake. It's a part of being creations of God who are meant to depend on Him. That God set it all up this way so that we would fear Him, so that we would revere Him, so that we would trust Him, so that we would depend on Him. And so that really this passage then pushes us to see that the seasons of life should cause us to look to the Lord. They should cause us to look to the Lord. A lot of agony in our lives is based on the fact that we're trying to buck up against the season that we're in. We're trying to break free from the season. We're trying to control things. We're trying to revert back to my young days, but guess what? It's not going to work. We're trying to understand everything, but our mind goes crazy and it can't do it. And we get frustrated. But there's a relief in not having to do that. But there's a relief and comfort knowing that this season is God-given. It's purposeful. It's orderly. It's not forever. And so that means I can say this season is appointed for me by God. It has a purpose in it. And I don't quite know why. I don't quite understand what that is, but I'm going to trust the Lord through it. And that's really what this passage is pushing us to do, is that you can't control these things. You're moved along by the season. By the seasons, and so you're led to, I need to trust God because He's in control of eternity. He's in control of the seasons, and so I'm led to trust Him. And so evaluate your heart this morning. Are you constantly looking back at a previous season and longing, like, oh, I just wish I would be young again? In some sense, okay, I wish I would, you know, there's nothing inherently wrong with that, but if you keep going to this point of obsessing and trying to change things and being resentful of God or getting to that, that's not good. Your hope cannot be there because that season is over. Trust God where He has you now. Be faithful today. Maybe for you, your thing that you struggle with is you look to the side at other people's seasons and you envy them. Don't do that. Be thankful for the season that you're in. Be thankful for what God has given you. Or maybe for you, you're constantly looking forward to future possible seasons. You're thinking, oh, if only that would happen, if only that. And you're trying to put your place, your hope, and your trust there. But our confidence cannot be in possible future situations. We can't put it in that's where we put our hope. No, we have to put it in promised future seasons, which God promised. That can be our hope. Trust God in your current season today. He is faithful. Remember, He's in control of all the seasons. And so even when things seem bleak, He's doing something. He's doing something amazing. Think about how the gospel shows us that we sinned against God. And that we deserve condemnation. Bible says we were without hope in this world. We couldn't save ourselves. So what happened, though? What happened? Listen to Galatians 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. In God's perfect timing, He sent Christ to redeem us. As Romans 5:6 says, for while we are still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. God is in control of the seasons. He's in control of the time. At the right time, at the appointed time, He sent Jesus. And so we see His in control. We see His purpose, His orderliness in His appointed times. Because as I just read, while we are still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. God's grace showed up at the appointed time. And let me tell you now, God's grace will show up in all of your seasons, in all of your appointed times. His grace does not run dry. And if you have never trusted in Jesus, God's grace is available to you today through the offer of salvation. Paul says, behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And so don't delay. The time to trust in Jesus is now before it's too late. So trust in Him to be forgiven and have eternal life. And for those of us who trust in Christ, keep trusting Him in your seasons. He's faithful. He's in control. He has stores of grace reserved for you. And so as I look across this room this morning, it's represented by various seasons. So many different seasons. We have young people in this room. Isn't it a blessing to have young people in this room? And to see their joy and their energy and say, I wish I had that energy, but I don't. I'm in a new season. But to see the smiles on their face and see young people, to see those with young children like myself and others in this church, to see those who are empty nesters and those who are older. We see those who are about to get married, those who have just been married, and we see those who are widowed and those who are single. So many various seasons represented in this church. And we're all going through different things. Some of us are going through really big physical trials, and that's the season that you're in. It's a hard season. It's a really hard season. Some of you are in the season of grief. You just lost a loved one, and it's really a burden on your heart. Some of you are going through high points, high seasons, right? Maybe you graduated, maybe you got a new job, or something amazing happened, or just things are going really well in your life, and you're going through that season. Praise the Lord. You know, we rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, the various seasons that we all go through. But we need to remember that there's a time for everything. And so we can't keep looking back in resentment. We can't keep looking forward and saying, I just wish God would give me that, and why doesn't He give me that? We can, of course, come to Him with questions, But do not come with anger and resentment, because you can remember that this is the season I'm in. It's my appointed time. Praise God, it doesn't last forever, especially if you're going through a trial. But I can know it's purposeful, it's orderly, and this is what God has given me today. This is my season. Am I going to be faithful today? Are you going to be faithful in your season? Or are you just going to keep longing for another one and say, if this happens, then I'll do better. If this happens, then I'll follow God more faithfully. If he gives me, no. Be faithful now. Trust the Lord in your season. Know he's in control. And know he has what you need for what season of your life you're in. He knows what you're going through. He's going to give you what you need. He's going to give you strength for the day and grace needed. And so recognize there's different seasons of life. I can't control them, but I will trust God through them. Let's pray. Dear good and gracious Heavenly Father, you take us through the seasons of life. Lord, some of us are going through really hard ones, and you know them. Some of us are going through great ones, and you know those too. And everything in between, Lord, you know them all. You're in control of them all. And I pray that each of us would be led to look to you, Lord, through these seasons, whether it be difficult or easy, whether it be changing soon or not. May we trust you along the way, knowing that you are in control of eternity. Lord, our hearts long to know that all everything, but yet we can trust you that you do know everything. And so we place everything in your hands this morning. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. This sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.